But obviously that was not enough time. So,
well, welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Well, thanks. Only a half hour late.
Well, we can go an extra half hour. It's not a big deal. Nobody really knows what time it is. This is the 16th of November, 2014, and it's right the top of the hour, 6 o'clock. Perfect timing. Here we are. There it is in the recording. And we've got Mike Marzio with us from southern France, and he's going to tell us about this is a Learning Together session, one of our regular Sunday sessions. And he's going to tell us about real English, and he's made it here. So meanwhile, we've been playing a little bit with Chatwing. So welcome, Mike.
Okay. Good to see you. Well, thanks. Can we put up my PPT? There we go.
Yeah.
Oh,
you need to be moderator. Let me fix that for you. Oops. Switching around the screen. There we go. Making you moderator. Okay.
Which means that I can also move the PPT
yes.
from page to page.
Yeah, you want to make sure that works for you?
Yeah, it does. Very good.
Okay. Yes, it's moving.
Here we are on the first page of my presentation. I wanted to point out that these days we not only speak about using real English in the classroom, but also in online lessons, because online learning is really coming along very fast, and according to everything that I've seen. As I point out here, every lesson in real English is based on a question or a couple of questions. And this particular lesson, my most recent one, is based on two questions we asked on the sidewalk, as usual, in South Beach, Miami Beach. We asked people, have you ever lived in another country or spent a month or more in another country? And since we were in a super cosmopolitan, on a super cosmopolitan sidewalk, we asked this question to both Americans and to people from several different countries. So it was quite a mixture. In some cases, we were speaking to Americans who had lived, for example, in Germany, or we were speaking to people from India who had spent time, who had lived in Great Britain and in the States. So we were making a lot of comparisons and contrasts with people of different nationalities. And the second part of the question that we asked was, is there anything that you prefer or dislike about the U.S. compared to whatever country they are originally from? Okay, I'm going to go on to my next slide here. Just historically, well, first of all, a little note on blended learning. What is blended learning in my case? Well, the videos are used by teachers with the students according to the teacher's own lesson plans in many cases, in addition to the interactive quizzes, which can be taken whenever convenient for the students. So the blended part, I think, is pretty obvious. And then I have an historical note here, just pointing out that Real English first appeared 20 years ago. Tiny videos online, 160 by 120, which is all that was possible with dial-up connections. And my friends all told me that I was nuts to be trying to do video on the internet, because there was so much waiting time to begin watching the video. Now, 20 years later, the web is saturated with video and typos. We have exercises that are extremely rich compared to what we used to have. One of the new features that I really like about the latest videos is that there are video tutorials for every exercise, so that I finally found a way to get beyond the problem of providing instructions for people who come from 150 different 150 different countries, representing just as many different languages. These new tutorial videos simply show how the exercises work. They're usually not necessary, but in case anyone needs help, they always have help now with these new tutorials. We're going to go right now to... wait a minute. Can I share the screen here, Vance? Or should I send people to go places?
Well, you could try a screen share. That might work.
Okay.
Do you see the tool in the at the top, the one that's the overlapping squares?
I see. I just pasted a URL in there? Or?
Not a URL or screen share. Okay. You asked for screen share. Screen share means you share a window. You can share an application like a browser, for example.
Oh.
And you can also do a web tour, which is...
Oh, yeah. I wanted to...
Web tour is the little globe on the square. So you can try sharing a browser window. You can keep it in your browser and open it that way. That way we can see where you scroll. Okay, you're going for a web tour, so the URL in the blank there.
Okay.
This is the lesson 81?
Yeah.
Okay.
The same.
All right. You want me to paste it there for you?
Let's see.
I'll put it there.
Well, it is there, I think, no?
Okay. Good. For some reason, my browser has buried my... Oh, I know it's there. Yeah. Okay.
The page doesn't look very good, but at least, and there's no sound, of course, from the video, right? Okay. Well, this is a typical main lesson page. In any case, I suppose everybody can see lesson 81. Is that correct?
Yes.
These exist, what I call main lesson pages, they exist for every lesson. This is the starting point. After having gone to, I'm not going to paste the URL of the other page, but after having gone to the summary of all the lessons, we clicked on lesson 81 and we arrived here. And what do we have? We have the lesson contents. In this particular case, it's really a long lesson, and I give all the details of everything of importance in the lesson. And if you were to go to the left and scroll down, you will see that there are 8 interviews within this lesson, and under each interview, I show the verb tenses, the vocabulary, and idioms, etc., used by each interviewee. In the middle, it looks very messy here. It looks neat on the original page, but here it looks messy. I made a geographic summary of the comparisons made by the 8 interviewees. For example, at the top we see Pete. He's from the USA. And he lived in Germany. And the next one is Jeanette. She's British, from England, and she now lives in the USA, et cetera, et cetera. And then we also have general information for the teachers on the right side. This is the same for all the lessons that exist. Okay, I'm going to get back to my PPT, which I can do by clicking. Ah, very good. Okay, I'm going to go to the next slide. And I'm going to share the. Let's see what it looks like if I try to share the screen with the. I'd like to show you an interesting fellow here. But on the other hand, since you cannot hear the audio, are these clickable, these links here? If not, how can I give you the
link? You might give us
link?
The YouTube link. Can you give us the YouTube link, or can I get it for you? I can get it and paste it. You're talking about
South
Beach 2? You want the YouTube link for that?
What I want is the where it says here 81-72 ASP, where it says exercises with very short clips, number one.
Exercises with very short clips, number one.
Yeah, that's what we want to watch.
Short clips. It doesn't have that in there. It says exactly short clips.
On the if we look at the page that's on the screen right now, it's the second.
Oh.
It's called number one. Yeah, on the screen we have a slide. It says at the top, extract of lesson 81, Utkarsh. Right?
Oh, hang on a minute. We're not going with you. Yes, I got it now. Okay, extract. Yeah, for some reason we're not following your slideshow. So I've been changing slides, but I didn't notice you're on slides 5 now. But there's a follow button next to your. Oh, I wonder if people are following me. Have I got it now? What does everybody see? Does everybody see extract of lesson 81? Can everyone see that on their screen? And if so, we've got to get. Let me see if I can handle the screen share for you. I'll see if I can get it here. Why don't you go ahead and talk about what we're going to see, and I'll see if I can get it up for you.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to watch a video that's exactly 49 seconds long of a fellow who was born in India and who grew up in the UK and who has also lived in the USA. He speaks relatively fast, and he's perfect in many ways for real English.
My problem
partially
is
I'm
having to copy out the video link, so don't worry, I'm doing it. I'm coming. I've got to keep the link on the screen in order to do that.
Yeah.
I was wondering
if we can't just send the people to that page.
It's just that since it's embedded in the PowerPoint presentation, which is not linkable.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
I'm transcribing it, so go ahead and talk, and I'll have it there. It's unit 81.asp, right? Is that the one we're going
for? Yeah, 81-72.
Okay.
Got it.
Yes, got it. 81-72.8 ESP. Okay.
81.
There's no way that I can copy the text and send it to you?
If you can, if you have the text there. But anyway,
oh, yeah, I have it right here. And
we've got it on our screen. We've got it embedded in a slideshow, and that's not clickable. But I've got it here, so I'll put it on a web tour now. Okay, was that it?
Yeah, except what we want is to watch the video.
Okay, let me get that for you. It's on that page, right?
Actually, Vance, we have no choice. We have to simply send the students there, and they have to. If they don't experience this, it's not going to make any sense.
Okay, I'm getting the link, the YouTube link. That's easy to get. I've got it here. So let me post that into the chat if I can find it. Where to post? Here we go. Okay, here's the video link. Also, I'll send everyone directly to that video. There we go. That's the video link, and it is in the text chat.
Yeah, everyone, please watch this, and then we'll come back. It's less than a minute.
Okay, I don't know if other people heard that. I heard it through my Illuminate, I think, that other people experienced the same thing.
I'd like to, I'm just going to paste the Real English page here and ask everyone to be a student now and try to do the exercise as if you are a student. I just put the link in the chat box here. Go to the Real English. Forget the screen for a moment and just be a student for a second and go to this link. Here it is again. And do the exercise as if you were a student. And if you have problems, just like a student, click on the help button and to see what happens. There's no way to get around this. If you don't experience it, then there's no point in me talking because it won't make sense.
We're here to experience.
Good. So everyone, please go there and do the exercise, and then we can talk about it.
I'm on the page 81-72 ASP, and I'm trying to find the exercise. I see A, interviewer, B, interviewer. Is there anything you prefer?
Right.
Maybe restart.
If you have a problem, click on help.
Oh, I see. You're supposed to play the video, and then you listen and click what you heard?
Yeah, in the correct order.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I got it. Yes. So each one selects the selects something in the dialogue. For example, I believe it was hi, what's your name, interviewer.
Right.
Utarksh. Okay. Yes. He says yes. So you're getting the next line of the dialogues. Okay.
Right.
Where are you from? Okay. He says, well, I'm originally from India. She says, wow, I think. Let's see. What do you think about the United States? I believe that must be it. I'm just reading what I think the correct answers are. How am I doing so far? people are just warm and welcoming. I love it. I lived here for 4 years. Okay. People are just warm and welcoming. Okay. Nope. Oh, I got a no. So, yeah. All right. So, I get some feedback.
Hey, you can click on
okay, I got
the video, of course.
Yes.
And stop at it.
Yes. You can hear the video. Go back and answer the questions. Well, I've completed mine. I got 86%.
Okay, good.
That's because you were describing
good.
Me.
Right. I just wanted to point out for this particular lesson, I chose that type of exercise for each interviewee because it's the most general type of listening comprehension that you can imagine. And then beginning with the very next exercise, we get into detail about everything that we just listened to. We get into the vocabulary. If you could, let's see, where is everybody at? Can we simply, since you're on the Real English site, can you just click forward to the next exercise? Everybody?
Yes. So,
this will
forward
be
to 73.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As you can see,
it says watch the exercise.
I'm sorry. I'm responsible for that telephone noise. Sorry about
yeah,
that.
No problem.
As you can see, this exercise is not an exercise.
Mm-hmm.
We give the answers away. So if we just click again and go to exercise 74.
Yeah, so that's just putting pictures, associating pictures with some of the things that he said, making the people sort of widen their understanding through graphics, getting some graphic feedback.
Right.
I'll drag the sentences to the pictures. Okay. All right. Drag the sentences to the pictures. Okay. Yes.
And what happens if you're wrong?
If I'm wrong, okay. Let's see. I'm gonna. Oh, it bounces back. Oh. Worked in New York. Oh, yeah. You probably can. All right. I got all but one right. And it's not going. Work in New York. I can't seem to find. Unless there's more on the screen.
If you get something wrong. It should appear red. It suddenly becomes red.
Oh, okay. Mine kind of bounced back, but I'm...
In other words, it does two things at the same... It does two things. It becomes red and then bounces back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At least that's what it should be doing on your screen. So, in other words... I made the exercise easy. Now, if we go forward again, exercise 75, you see the same thing again, except this time It's based upon listening comprehension.
Okay.
In other words,
you were listening to the recording.
This is right. In other words, it's very progressive. In the very first exercise of this type, we were simply given the correct answers. In the second one, we were shown that our answers were wrong. And this time, we simply have to get them right. So it's like going from practice mode to test mode, so to speak. All right, let's go to exercise 76. And in fact, in this particular exercise 75 was also impossible to get a wrong answer because it became red if you made a mistake. And now finally, with exercise 76, you have test mode for the listening comprehension. And before, for example, the word India was written over the country, and now there's nothing written over the pictures, so it's all based upon listening comprehension. And the pictures as helpers. Let's go to exercise 77. Here's another different type of technique that we use, that I use quite a bit. It's a question of choosing the correct form of the verb. Which you could do if you like. I'm going to go back to my go to page 6 of my of my PowerPoint presentation now. Okay. In other words, if you were to go through those exercises, you would see that we're teaching vocabulary, we're teaching verb structures, synonyms and antonyms, and all within the context of someone who's speaking at normal speed, which seems very fast to most students.
Okay, I'm bringing up your PowerPoint slide so I can copy URLs from that. If you need something, I didn't have it on my screen before.
Just a second.
So I can copy structures, synonyms or antonyms.
Yeah.
If you want, I can put it there.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go for 81-79.
Okay, I'll get it.
I'm also going to give everyone who is still here, I'm going to give them the link so they can go.
I'm doing that.
Go here.
There it is. I got it there. Mm-hmm. This is lesson 81.
And exercise 81-79. which is a technique I like quite a bit. We click on mistakes. And it's a great way to do intensive listening comprehension, because what the students read is correct, but it's not what they hear in the video clip. For example, if everyone goes to 8179 and simply once again does the exercise as if they were a student, and then maybe we come back and get some feedback from everybody, because I've been speaking an awful long time without getting any kind of feedback at all. So once again, please make believe you're a student once again, and do this exercise right here.
Yes, I can see that you click on, you're making synonyms because you click on the things that weren't really said in the video, and it changes to, from, you have to spot the difference, although the meaning is still there, the meaning is the same.
Right. Yeah. Yep, that's it. It's really hard to, screen sharing is impossible on the one hand in order to do it correctly, in order for the people here to experience it. And on the other hand, there's no order, there's no organization of this without
I'm clicking on the what's in the screen share, and it's working. Oh, I don't know. Do you see what I see, or is it just happening for me?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it is working.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's great. Okay, we can, here we are.
Awesome.
Okay. Hi, what's your name? My name is Utkarsh. Is the correct, is what he said. And then the interviewer says, Utkarsh. Okay. And Utkarsh says, yes. And, where are you from? Okay, that's fine as it is. And Utkarsh says, well, I am originally from India. Grew up in the UK, but instead of although, live in Singapore now. And the interviewer says, awesome? No, she says, wow. Which, holy cow, is another synonym of wow. And does she say, does she ask, what's your opinion about the United States? No. What do you think about the United States? I really like it a lot, which is very similar to I love it. As we go through this, I'm clicking on the on everything that is not correct. I lived in the United States for 4 years, right? I studied here. I worked in New York. That's all correct. So although I live, which is not what he says. He says, despite the fact that I live so far away, I love coming back here. There is a feeling in the air in the U.S. that's extremely cool. And he doesn't say extremely cool. He says, fantastic. So it's another different way to to teach synonyms, and it forces the students to do some really intensive listening. All of the exercises that I make are basically attempts to make the students listen intensively, because there's nothing more important than that in learning a language. It's time for questions or something. I've done more in speaking than I should have.
I have lots of questions. First of all, the really remarkable thing about your work, it's kind of like Van Gogh. You know, if you see one of Van Gogh painting, okay, that's a nice painting. You see the thousand and first, then wow, you know, what was this guy doing all his life? So the scale of your work, I should say, is really remarkable, and the fact that you've been doing it for a long time, I don't know how much people know about you here or in the recording, but you might tell us a little about yourself. You're living in southern France. You own a language school. You mentioned you were kind of retired
from
France, but you're doing real English as a passion, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. If Elizabeth is still here, she could tell you about the history of real English. I'm talking about Elizabeth Hanson Smith, who I saw here. Maybe she's not here anymore. Way back in the 90s, even before Real English came online, it first existed as the first versions existed as VHS tapes that students, Elizabeth says she's here, good. The first versions were VHS tapes that students and that teachers used in the classroom, and apparently Elizabeth still has them. In any case, that was the very first thing I did. That was, I don't know, early 90s at some point, and then, like David says, I see you're from Tenafly. My aunts and uncles who lived in Tenafly, excuse me. The VHS tapes were the first way in which real English appeared. And Elizabeth was the first person to give me a heads up, and she gave me a great review, which enabled me to continue. I was at a point where I needed some kind of encouragement to continue my work, and Elizabeth gave it to me. So I've always, she's always had a special place in my history, giving me the necessary encouragement to keep on working at it.
Mike, your project has been such a wonderful thing, and I love that you got it all online and it's now accessible to millions and millions of people, and I hope there are millions using it. I was earlier suggesting that what you need to do now is put this all into a MOOC, so you could offer a course on Coursera showing people where these exercises are, and you'd get 20,000-30,000 people looking at these and really spread the word. And what I tried to do in the review was point out how important it is for learners of English to hear and understand people from all different backgrounds who are speaking English, not as a native, but as a non-native speaker, and yet using it so fluently, as indeed Utkarsh is doing in this video. Knowing English means being able to understand everybody, not just your teacher in the classroom. So this is a really important program, and I think it should get the widest possible audience. The underlying philosophy of it, I think, is absolutely true and correct.
Well, thank you for repeating that.
Can I ask a related question?
Please.
This is Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, it just so happens that I have a colleague in the TESOL online certificate program who actually teaches or is developing a course for people who want to get into medical professions or nursing. And she's specifically looking for video or audio of people with different accents. And I told her about Real English, but actually when I made a cursory look myself, it sounded, I guess the speakers are all so high level that they sounded almost like native speakers. And so I'm wondering if there are somewhere speakers that are maybe more characteristically second language English speakers, or if there's any way to access, there's probably no index, I imagine, that would tell people where to find speakers from a certain country or region or something?
No, there's no index. There's only the main lesson pages that gives you summaries of that type of information. But no, there's no easy way to get that information. No work of that sort has ever been done.
Well, but those main pages, like you said, that would be helpful just to look and see, like on the one we saw, it identifies where the speaker is from and where he or she lives now, if that's relevant.
Yeah. That's not done in a systematic way, unfortunately, but it's often done. There are so many things to think about, and when you're working basically alone, you're bound to leave out important features.
Well, there's a possible non-paying job for somebody, I imagine.
Yeah.
Look at a bunch of these videos and then catalog and make an index.
Yeah. In fact, I have 100 jobs of that sort. They're mostly voluntary jobs, but there are also some that are important enough for me to pay for, but not a heck of a lot for each job, unfortunately.
I have a question about your methods. Just taking Utkarsh as an example, my impression is that you video off the street. Is that correct?
Always. Just go out and meet people. Right.
Okay, but here we have Utkarsh. He's also posing in other photos. So you must work with him a little bit after his material goes online. Did you meet him on the street, by the way? He's a chance encounter?
Yeah, absolutely everyone. We wore him up to some of the people, and sometimes even have lunch with them after an interview. But we always spend time with them, at least to get them to sign the release form for the interview. But it's totally unrehearsed, and there's no rules about anything. It's just in the very beginning, we would interview anyone who would accept an interview, anyone we met. Nowadays, when we go out, we're much more picky. We don't choose people who look sad, or we only approach people who are either laughing or have a smile on their face. Because we know it's going to work, basically, after all these years of filming people on the streets. And one of the most important things is just to have someone who's feeling good and who has time to spend talking to us. There are a lot of criteria like that. Sometimes we meet really happy-looking people who then make so many grammar mistakes that you can't even use them. You never know what's going to happen. But in our early days, we could only use about one person out of 20 that we got on tape. But nowadays, about 50% of the people are usable because we've just learned, you know, how to choose people. That's all.
How many videos do you have? How many lessons have you created?
Well, there are 81. There are now 81 main videos, actually, there's more than that. There's quite a bit more than that, because there are some. There are many that don't yet have lessons. There's about, let's say, 80 lessons and about 300 videos.
Do you use these lessons in your language school as
part
of the curriculum?
Oh yeah. Without twisting any arms, I like to emphasize some of the teachers use them systematically. And others use them just now and then. All of our teachers at the school are free agents, and they use what they like to use.
At one time, I'm aware that you had to separate real English from some other things that you were doing with a publisher. Which I thought was really impressive at the time, because you were communicating with the Webheads community, and you were assuring your friends in the community that these would be free, you would keep them free. Can you tell us more about that? Do you know what I'm talking about, first of all? Am I in the right? If that's a good question, you can try to address it.
I don't know what the exact reference is, Vance.
Were you publishing materials somewhere else, but you kept these aside to, I thought there was some juncture that you were communicating with Webheads about where you wanted to make sure and reassure us that these would remain free for everybody to use.
Right.
That's not a good question. If you don't remember, that's one of the impressive things, is that you've been doing all this work, I'm sure you get returns, and as we all do, I mean, learning together, for example, we don't get paid for it, but we get returns in so many ways through learning and, you know, other aspects of our jobs.
Yeah. And as you have certainly noticed, I also have Google AdSense advertisements sprinkled a bit every place. So I do get a check every month from Google, which enables me. My wife used to make fun of me. Because I was working for free, so to speak. As far as she was concerned, I was having fun and teaching for free. She used to laugh at that and find it very funny. Well, now when she sees the Google check, she doesn't laugh so loud. So the advertisements are. are kind of nice, and they're, I think that they're not obtrusive, and they don't get away, don't get in the way of learning. And I feel like, I'm actually doing something worthwhile from her point of view also.
Yeah, I know the feeling. We're getting into dinner time here, and my wife is very patient with me at these times of evening.
Oh, I haven't looked at the... I haven't looked at the watch.
Oh, no, we have some time. In fact, I'd like to encourage... Well, it's up to you, really, if you have time. I'd like to encourage other people to ask questions. We had someone from El Salvador here earlier who had just heard about learning as real English, and I thought he seems to have left, but maybe somebody else. Do other people here use real English? Would you like to ask, or do you have any feedback on its use? Any ideas for how you might use it?
I have some thoughts. Yes, go on.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say that I find that there are two kinds of teachers there are two ways that teachers use it. There are some teachers who make their own lesson plans and don't bother with my exercises, except they might give the exercises out as homework to their students. And I would really be interested in I hope that those teachers would share their lesson plans so that there is a more of a community aspect of real English. So there are two kinds of teachers who use it. Those who simply go directly to my exercises and use those exercises as their lesson plan, and the other types of teachers who make their own lesson plans just for the videos. Anyway, Elizabeth is saying, Coursera course, right? As an aside to Elizabeth, we have to get back in touch and get some details about that. Anyway, I was just pointing out the blended learning aspect of that. And whoever wants to speak now and make a comment, please ask for the floor.
Hi, Mike. This is Nina.
Hi, Nina.
I've been in and out this session. Went down and had breakfast and came back. So I kind of missed the big new lesson that you're doing, but I just wanted to say that I'm a big fan of Real English. I don't use it all the time because I usually teach reading, writing, grammar, not listening, speaking, and so kind of has a limited applicability to my context, but I recommend it all the time, and one of the most recent places I recommended it to was to a conference of teachers in training and in-service teachers at the Universidad de Oriente in El Salvador, and the person that was here earlier, Francisco Andrade, was the person who invited me to give that talk about sites for listening practice, and yours was the first one on my list that I recommended, and I sent Francisco the information about this session today, and he was very excited about it. And I'm sure that he will share the recording with the other people that were at the conference, and I hope you get lots more users through that.
Right.
I also recommend Real English to students all the time, and I really love it. My only complaint about Real English is that it's a kind of confusing interface because of the ads, and it's very easy to get thrown off the site by clicking on something that looks like it's going to lead to another part of real English, but in fact it kicks you out and takes you someplace else because it's an ad. So
I get it.
I understand you've got to do what you've got to do, but it's the only thing I don't like.
Uh-huh.
Great site.
Right. Well, thank you for that very much, Nina. Your opinion is very important to me. But I'm afraid it's going to stay confusing with adverbs. In fact, I hate to say this, but that confusing aspect is how half of the money is generated. It's a horrible thing, but that's just the way it works.
Yeah, I don't think it's horrible at all. I think it's great that you monetize something that's so valuable to yourself and to other people. In an unobtrusive way, as you said. I mean, you know, people can get used to that. And in fact, actually, those distracting clicks are what's financing his site. So, Nina, you need to keep your students clicking off site. So, I mean, that's a joke, but, you know, still, that's actually what does it, isn't it?
The students who come back regularly, they figure it out after a few sessions, and despite the fact that a lot of the ads have arrow buttons that look as if they're part of the Real English interface, they quickly learn how to avoid clicking on the wrong arrow. It's just a question of habit.
I have a question. I think Dave Wexler had a question. I don't know, maybe we should give Dave an opportunity to take his turn.
Thanks, Vance. Mike, I just randomly meeting with folks at Teachers College. She's been in the States for a little over 2 months. She's from China, and she's studying bilingual English or bilingual educational practices. I mean, elementary school kids. But I just, if you want a possible connection to someone who literally might, you know, be interested in some sort of cataloging of stuff, I'd be happy to, you know, give her your email. She may be having Thanksgiving with our family.
Uh-huh.
I see her, you know, every week.
Right. Here's my email address. That I would really appreciate a lot, David. And thank you. I'm going to paste that immediately. Joy. Okay. Make sure I have that.
There you go. My question is
I got
about...
It. Yes.
Okay. I like the... I mean, it's obvious, you know, Nina said, for example, that the activity, the lessons didn't really fit her context, but as you pointed out, the videos do. Certainly, there's a lot of real language data there that people can use and adapt to their own purposes, which is one of the great strengths of your prolific work. I wondered... about your lessons, the ones you create, do you have feedback as to how they're used? You know, the students like that kind of lesson, or do you know? How do you get feedback from your students? I'm sure you do have.
Oh, yeah, I do. I have a form that students see when they finish a lesson, and they add comments and sign up and add comments if they feel like it. And I just changed my site just a couple days ago, and I published on my main on my homepage the most how can I say, if you just go to the homepage of Real English, you'll see about 50 comments made by students and teachers
about what they think of Real English. I did this just 3 or 4 days ago. You'll see if you just go to the home page. I'll paste the home page URL here at the bottom of that rather long page. You'll see about 50 or so of the most complimentary comments made by mostly students, but also teachers.
There's another idea.
Does that answer your?
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Another idea is we just talked a couple of weeks ago with Kim Sabria, who is one of the on the team that's developing Edpuzzle. Are you familiar with Edpuzzle?
No, I'm not.
It's a site that.
That's one.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say that's one disadvantage of having a site to take care of all the time is that you don't discover as much as you should that it's out there.
Yeah.
Please go on.
Okay. Well, anyway, Edpuzzle takes videos from YouTube and lets English teachers make lessons from them. It's got really great reviews, and that's why I asked Kim to come and talk to us. So we've got the recording from a couple of weeks back, and you can hear more about it there. But since your videos are on YouTube, it's possible that people could take them and repurpose them in an Edpuzzle format. And of course, that has a link as well. So you were asking for feedback from teachers and to share lessons. But it might be interesting to encourage some feedback from people who might want to import your lessons to Edpuzzle and see what they're doing with them.
Well, I'm going to check that out for sure. Yeah. It might be a good outfit to make some sort of agreement with, perhaps.
Well, yeah. I think Kim himself is an English teacher, and he's from Barcelona. He was in San Francisco at the time, but he sort of designed a tool that he would want to use. He might be one of the teachers who would take your video and use it himself, and he tried to make a tool that would allow him and other teachers to do that and work with other people, and it's a free tool, but it has lots of interesting advantages, and so we're using it a bit where I work, just to use videos in the way we want to use them.
Okay, great. Yeah, is the URL, it's easy to find?
Yeah, edpuzzle.com.
Edpuzzle?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's edpuzzle, edpuzzle.com.
Great. There's one thing I want to do before I forget, is to go to the last page of my, I want to give proper credit here to two people who helped me with the site recently. In addition to the filming team and the interviewees and the interviewers, there's one Russian fellow, as you can see on the last page of presentation of the PPT, Slavic Ghost, my Russian friend, has done a lot of work simply to make the site work better, work faster, and at the same time he's done some graphics for me, graphics better than the ones that I make myself in many cases, and also to Glennis Hansen, who like me is retired and who is an expert in advanced exercise techniques. In fact, this lesson 81, she did herself the first 21 of the 100 exercises, And it was, for me, a technical learning experience. I want to be sure that Glennis gets her her credit, because it was a pleasure to work with her. She's really smart, and she has her own site about how she makes how she uses hot potatoes in the most advanced possible way. I really love hot potatoes, only because it's possible to customize it to the extreme and make it do things it was never intended to do, which is most evident in this new Lesson 81. So hats off to both Slavik and to Glennis.
Here's something else you might be interested in. Edpuzzle creates an embed of a video that has a very small footprint, and you can embed that into hot potatoes, unless you take the, you could, I suppose, embed the URL to the video as well, but you could play the video, you could display the video in hot potatoes and you could play it, or if that's a, in our case, it would be a problem, because many places block YouTube, ours is one of them, but if we upload that to Edpuzzle, we can put the Edpuzzle embed there, and the embed is a very small footprint, so it plays pretty quickly. And then you can design a hot potatoes exercise around the, you know, with the embed from your site, from any YouTube video, and that seems to work kind of interestingly. So it's another suggestion that worked for you.
Okay, I'm definitely going to check that out. Thanks.
Rosemary had a question. She wanted to know if your slides would be available in SlideShare, and if they are, we could also link to them at the archive that will go up at learningtogether.net.
Sure, how do we do that?
If you've got a SlideShare account, you just upload the slides and provide us the link.
Okay.
Or you create a SlideShare account, upload the slides and provide the link. And we can then put the embeds to your slides in the blog that we produce, slideshare.net.
Okay, and then I'll send you the link. What's the best way to send to get the link out there, to put it in the Yahoo groups?
Just send it to me, and I'll put it.
Okay.
I'll embed the slideshow, and then I wanted to let you know also that I put the link to Kim Sabria. I put his, I can't find where I put it now. Must be here. Here we go. Here's the link to Kim Sabria. Shall I just make I'll make a little web tour out of it. So, here we go. This is the one about Edpuzzle where we talked with Kim a few weeks back. And there we go. I made the session moderator post that. Okay, this has been a really interesting session. Does anybody else have any last questions before we thank Mike formally for his contribution to our field?
Thank you to Ingrid, and bye-bye, Ingrid.
Yeah, Ingrid mentioned that she uses real English quite a bit.
Her organization in Germany bought, I think it was 50 copies of my DVD, the DVD version of Real English, which was a big surprise. It was my biggest order ever.
It's cool. It's nice to see people who do what they want to do and help other people in the ways that you do, succeed, you know, and benefit from that. That's really nice.
Yeah, really, that's true. Yeah.
Well, we're talking here with Mike Marzio, founder and chief bottle washer at realenglish.com. I hope that was the right URL. And this is November 16th, 2014.
2014. And it was always nice talking to Mike. We really appreciate it. We've talked to you several times in the past. You've participated in our webinars and action online convergences. And we've known you for ages. And it's really great catching up on your work.
Okay. Well, that's nice of you to say. It's great to participate with you guys too, for sure. I don't get out enough, so to speak, and it's great. I love to do it when I can.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Robert. Robert said he's going to be making an Ed Puzzle real English video mashup soon. So we'll hear from Robert about how that comes out.
Probably this week as part of a project.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't hesitate in writing me about your own activities, for example, with Ed Puzzle, et cetera. Okay.
I can even share puzzle with you.
Okay. I'll find out more about that in the very near future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice to see Elizabeth again, as usual, and Robert, and Rosemary from Bolivia. Nice to meet with you. And we had a lot of other people that they happen to be here right now. But this is Vance Stevens in Al Ain, UAE, signing off on this session. So I'll leave the recording running momentarily. And if anybody pops in and says anything, we'll catch it. If not, thanks everyone for being here.
Thanks. Bye.